Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Talk Gnats podcast. I am your host, Kevin Nibley, and we are sponsored by Old DC Apparel. Head on over to shopolddc.com. Get the latest and greatest in DC fan gear. It's cool stuff you're not going to find in a team store. It's completely original type of stuff that when you wear it on the street, to a bar, at a game, whatever, people are going to ask you where you got it, and it's going to make an impression. And use the code TalkNatsPod at checkout for 10% off your order. And as always, you can find the video version of our show on YouTube at Talk Gnats Podcast. That's also our social handle on X. And the audio version is pretty much available on any major podcast platform. I've noticed more people are listening every week, which is exciting. That's what we're shooting for. Glad that some people are catching on to the show. And you know, we're going to keep trying to put out cool shows every Friday. Is going to be the program. Subscribe, and we'll start promoting it usually Friday morning around 10 o'clock or so. Sometimes the episode will go up a little earlier, you know, Thursday evening around midnight. But yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Yeah, so some big news tonight before we drop this podcast. We truly are in our Toboney era. Mackenzie Gore going to the Texas Rangers for 5 players. You know, it's an interesting trade. Nats fans feeling like it's a little light. Rangers fans feeling like they gave away way too much. So, you know, who knows? Maybe that's a good trade. Regards to how you feel about it, it's clear now the direction Toboney is going to tear this down to the studs a little bit more. If I was CJ Abrams, hopefully he's renting. He doesn't own here in town. He's probably next, if I have to guess. But yeah, no, the Nats, I guess if you didn't like the last rebuild, you'll get a chance to like this one, because it appears, you know, it's going to be another couple of years of selling and accumulating prospects. So yeah, big news in Nats town, and we'll do a whole episode probably next week on that. We're going to start getting into a lot of these prospects we got back, and a lot of other prospects and other younger players and guys coming to spring training you may not entirely know about. We're going to start breaking those guys down for you in the coming weeks to get you ready for everything in West Palm. But for tonight, we are going to continue with part 2 of our conversation with Tyler Clippard and Drew Storen. Obviously, you guys were the quote-unquote A bullpen for many years, a setup man and a closer. You know, but it's interesting how you said Davey knew how to lose. You know, if you're down a run or two in the fourth, do you take your foot off the gas? Or I'm just curious how you prepare out there, because it's such an interesting job.
Yeah, I always tell people when they ask me for gambling advice on baseball that we pretty much made a living on gambling whether we were going to pitch or not. And I felt like I was wrong a majority of the time. Clip and I are just routine freaks. And I think that's just one of those things where you would just rinse and repeat every day and make sure every box is checked. And then that way, you know, you're as prepared as you can be for the chaos, right? Like, that's the nice thing. Like, you, I guess another veteran call out would be Mike Gonzalez is another dude. Like, I was obviously super fanatical about my warm up. And then in the end, he's like, dude, just trust that you're here for a reason. When the phone rings, the gate opens up, you'll figure it out. Like, you know, stuff like that, that like in the end, you end up pitching better in those days, versus the days that you're like, okay, 3-1 contest, here you go. Like, and you're just waiting, you know, whereas like there's, I mean, I remember in Atlanta one time we were probably down by a touchdown, and lo and behold, we came back and won it. Yeah. Like, it, you just never know. So you know, try to sneak in a mid-game ice cream bar, kind of might come back to get you every once in a while. But yeah, no, that was, I mean, that was kind of the way that we kind of approached it, was just, hey, we do whatever. But I think too, like, again, Davey's ability to run the bullpen, like when the phone rang, when he was managing, we knew who was going. Like, it wasn't like, okay, who's numbers up? Like, it was pretty much like everybody was moving towards their glove if they knew, you know, phone rang.
Yeah. That was that. I mean, Drew, you know, said it perfectly. It's just, you got to find a routine. You got to find a routine that works for you. Do it every single day and kind of take the mindset, you know, even the days, like I touched on it before, even the days where Davey would say, Clip, you're not pitching today. I was like, all right, but you know, you just never know. So I still in those days would put my cleats on and do my routine and stick to it because you just never know, like Drew said, and what, you know, what if we go 16 innings and I do have to pitch. Right. So that was always my mindset every single day was just do your routine, get and the one thing that I think is a huge benefit, especially for like a back end bullpen guy is the luxury of getting out there and maybe the second or third inning, I think is a big deal for those guys, because if you're sitting down there in the first inning and you're waiting for 2.5 hours, there's a lot of energy spent to that buildup of potentially pitching. So if you can cut that emotional strain down just a little bit, I think is beneficial. But you know, I was never one of those guys that got out there in the sixth because that give me too much anxiety. But yeah, just getting out there in the second or third, kind of knowing I had a little bit more time than maybe somebody else was nice. But you know, you just got to prepare mentally to just be ready every day, I think is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Now, so the current Nats team doesn't particularly have a closer at the moment. So this is my question that I have. Do you think you can build a bullpen without any player that has a closer's background, or is that mentality really important in terms, you know, you'd mentioned Stammen, you know, in your day was a Swiss Army knife and Tyler was a setup and Drew, you were the closer. Do you think it's important to have those roles defined early in the season, or can you go into a season with just a bunch of relievers and figure it out as you go? What's your take on that?
I say no.
I know we're probably going to get roasted by the stats guys, but yeah, I'm a believer in having roles, and because the consistency of that throughout the season, the performance of the bullpen again, like I think it just anytime you can make it routine, it makes it better. And then like, you know, again, we knew it would be like Bernie had the seventh, Clip had the eighth, I had the ninth, or whatever it was. Like we knew what that here's the program that we're going to do. And it's easier to execute within that when it's, you're not dealing with just complete circus.
And so, even there was a year in 2013 where things got flipped around and Drew ended up having to pitch the seventh for most of the year. And I was eighth and Soriano was the ninth, but we just knew, you know, so as long as you know, you can make the adjustment.
Yeah.
It's just really hard to just go into it and be like, hey, there's, you know, you three be ready for the seventh, eighth and ninth. You're like, well, which inning is it going to be? And if you don't really have any clue to that, it just makes it harder. I mean, it's a chaotic environment regardless. And the more structure that you can have around the structure of your bullpen, the better off everyone is going to be. I don't care if you're the long guy or the eighth inning guy or the ninth inning guy. It doesn't matter as long as there's a little bit of structure. And there was years where, you know, maybe as a setup guy with, I don't know, let's just call it Arizona. When I was there, I was either going to go the seventh or the eighth. That's okay. I could figure that out, you know, but if it's just like, hey, you're high leverage in the fifth, or you might close. I mean, that's you're asking a lot of that guy mentally, and sure, you know, there could be success in that for 6 weeks, 2 months, but long term, throughout a whole season, man, if you put that grind on one guy, it's not gonna work long term.
Cool. Yeah, and so I was also curious, any other memories from your time with the Nats you'd like to share, whether a highlights or just something you remember that maybe not, like, you know, this show is kind of more for the hardcore, super nerdy type of Nats, MLB fans, you know, anything you don't talk about on like regular sports radio or just memories you had from your time in Washington that, you know, people might get a kick out of?
I got a funny Davey story. So yeah. This will show you the transparency of Davey. I'll censor it, but we were in Denver and Ryan Matthews is in the game and runs in, I guess a couple guys get on and Davey goes to take him out of the game. And he said, it's not, he goes, It's not that I don't think you can do it. I just know those two mother bleepers behind you are a lot better.
that's how Davey was, man. Yeah. Got you straight.
Yeah.
That's why we loved him.
Yeah, that was it. So that was pretty funny.
But he did a good job. You know, even like, I think even after that game, you know, he was the manager who could walk back to the back of the plane, and me, Drew, and Ryan, and maybe, you know, Jordan, Zimmerman, and Strauss, we're playing cards, and we're everything's fine. And then he would come, and then he makes light of the situation. You know, he's like, hey, you know, Ryan, sorry, buddy. Well, we just got to get these guys in there. Like, you know, and then he was almost more part of the group and part of the guys, and could cut it up like that. And, you know, have a glass of wine with you and just be in those moments. He could remove himself of that managerial position and just kind of let his guard down and just kind of be real. And that goes such a long way with guys in a long season like that. And he was great at that.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'll give one more because this is another favorite Davey. So we're in Miami and we were struggling or something. So he holds a fake player meeting just to tell the media that we had this player meeting. And he goes, I just really wanted to have them think it. And then he, you know, starts chirping about like how much we don't know about the history of baseball. And he's like, you guys don't even know who I played with. And, Michael Morse dropped a Babe Ruth. So one of the finer lines I've ever heard. So,
dude, Mikey Moe had some of the best drop in lines like that, like all the time. Oh my God. He was hilarious. Mike was the best.
Yeah. So good.
Cool. So we're getting close to out of time, but, I was curious, how do you feel about some of the newer innovations that have come into baseball since you guys have retired? You know, how would you have liked to have pitched in an era with a pitch clock, or this year we're going to start having a challenge system on balls and strikes? Where are you guys with that kind of stuff?
Oh, I would have killed to have the challenge system on balls and strikes. Let's go with that. That would have changed my entire career. yeah, I think when it comes to all the other stuff, like pitch clock, I think would have helped me. Clip actually had to do it, so he could.
It ruined my career. I had to retire when the pitch lock came into the foray. So you know how I feel about it, but you know,
I think I would have eventually hated it, but it would have helped me in the end, just because I would have made me work a little bit quicker. And but yeah, I when it comes to all the other tech, man, like the pitching machines where they have the guy actually throwing you with his stuff. Yeah. Like, I'm glad I don't have to face hitters that have already sat on that stuff, dude. Like, you can't get away with anything cheap nowadays.
I mean, it is, I think there's so much benefit to the pitch clock. I say that I don't like it, and that it did kind of end my career, which it did, because I kind of had to learn how to pitch all over again, because I was always a methodical, slow guy with six different pitches and shaking off every single sign a catcher ever put down in my whole career. I was just like, no. I do think though, as professionals and, you know, in the long run, I probably could have figured that out and did, but, to Drew's point, and it also speeds up the game, which I think is great for fans, the pitch clock. And then, and then you have the challenge system, which I think is a no brainer. I think there should be more challenges. I think, is there like two now? It should be like four probably, but anyway, because the back end of the bullpen guys are going to get screwed because the challenge is already going to get used up by the time those guys get in the game. I'm like, man, like, can you save like two for like the seventh, eighth, and ninth? Like, what the heck? But so that's kind of the thought process I have on that. And then the automated strike zone stuff can be, I was always of the belief that it would really help pitchers. But now they're moving the strike zone to the middle of the plate instead of the front of the plate, which is kind of what pitchers envision it being anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe because of that, it could help the hitters. I don't know, to be determined on that one, but it'll be interesting. I think from again, all these changes are great for fans, and I think that's what the game knows. And it's probably going to be good in the long run.
Cool. So we're almost out of time, but you know, tell us again how we can get some of your Field of Dreams whiskey, where we could find you on social media, you know, anything else you guys would like to plug.
Yeah, at Drink Field of Dreams is our social tag, and then drinkfieldofdreams.com. Go to our website and actually order bottles off the site, and we got some hats up there too in case you want some. So cool. Yeah, check us out, keep us on your socials, and we'll keep you updated with new releases.
Cool. All right, well, Tyler, Drew, that, I mean, it's really good stuff. Some of those Navy stories, just things I haven't heard before. Totally appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time, and great to have you.
Thanks for having us, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, that was our episode. Pretty amazing soundbite where Drew Storen says that a pitch challenge system would have changed his career. I think we all pretty much know what game he's talking about. And, it's a shame because in a world with a pitch challenge system, maybe those 2012 Nats do go on to win the World Series. I think for most of us, if you take away the 2019 team that had that magical run, I think that 2012 Nats team is pretty much all our favorites. It just sounds like that was such a fun club with a lot of characters and a really great manager who was adept at handling egos. And it's interesting, Davey was kind of an old school manager. Now we're in the age of analytics under Toboni and Butera. You know, we'll see how it all goes. But yeah, that's our episode. As always, please subscribe to us on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform for the audio version. Go visit Shop Old DC, our sponsor, buy some t-shirts and hats, and go to talknats.com. New articles every day, amazing baseball writing, and until next time, go Nats.